Welcome to On Par with Maury Povich.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of On Par. And I have the pleasure of welcoming the hilarious, the heartwarming Leanne Morgan, the Southern comedy sensation whose first Netflix special, I'm Every Woman, took the world by storm. After raising a family, building a career later in life, she's now starring in her own sitcom. Guess what it's called? Oh, very creative. Leanne. It's called Leanne. Proving that dreams don't come with an expiration date. She's co-hosted the Today Show multiple times. She brings her Tennessee charm to millions, has a brand new special out on Netflix called Unspeakable Things, and has found her sweet spot, turning real life, marriage, and motherhood into comedy genius. How about that, Leanne?
Thank you. No wonder you're Maury, honey. Right. That was beautiful. Thank you. God. And your voice, beautiful.
Now, you know, I'm going to start out by this. I read a story. I'm very upset because I read a story. I come from Washington, D.C., all right? People don't understand it. It was a southern town. I grew up in the South. Believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And I had a tinge of a Southern accent. I grew up, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, y'all.
Y'all.
Y'all. Now, the reason I'm saying this, I read a story. Your accent is so adorable.
Thank you.
But I read a story where this next generation, these kids, are losing all their accents.
I did too, Maury, and isn't that sad?
What happened?
I read that because everybody's so transient now and moving to the South that it's watered down. It's going to be watered down, and we're not going to have that deep Southern accent anymore.
I mean, I loved it. I mean, I know people in the North. They go, well, there ain't nothing worse than a Boston accent for crying out loud. And my father was born in Maine, you know, and it's Pactacat and Havajad and all that kind of stuff. But so, I mean, if we lose the Southern accent.
I know, because I think it's beautiful. And I think there's so many different ones in the South. People just lump us all in together.
Right. Do you know the difference?
I feel like I can. I feel like Cajun,
yeah.
I can pick
Louisiana.
That out. Louisiana yeah. is very different from Mississippi. That's very different from Tennessee, Georgia,
but
South Carolina.
I know people from Tennessee whose accents are a little different than yours.
Okay, because we've got, you know, it's like three states in one. Memphis,
right.
which is very deep south, connected
near,
to Mississippi.
Near Mississippi.
Yeah. So that's a whole different ballgame there. And then Middle Tennessee farming, that's where I was raised, on the Kentucky-Tennessee border. And I think mine's more rural, farm
than,
talk.
Yes.
And then
East
Tennessee,
South.
Mm-hmm. And then East Tennessee,
like Chattanooga and stuff.
Chattanooga's kind of, I think, more southern than Knoxville.
Yeah, because it's northern Georgia's nearby.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, and I think going back to pre-Civil War and Civil War, the East Tennessee went with the North, and the other ones went with the South.
Uh-huh.
And so there, it's just different.
So
in Knoxville.
So when you were in...
And that's Appalachia, too.
Right.
The foothills of the Appalachian
so
Mountains.
So when you were at the University of Tennessee, did you hear all of the different ones?
I did hear a lot of different ones. And people always thought... And I was very country. And people kind of make fun of me. But yeah. I never changed it. I thought... I was proud of where I was from. And I just... I don't know. I just never wanted to change this.
What's it like growing up in a town of 500?
I
mean,
well,
do you know everybody?
You know everybody. There were three churches, and everybody went to one of those churches, and then everybody knew everybody, so they helped each other with crops. I know it sounds like something in the 1600s.
No, but
when
you were growing up, you saw
it.
It
was.
Yes,
everybody helped each other get their tobacco in. And then, everybody knew everybody. I graduated with like 40 people, 42, something like that. I started with most of those from kindergarten till 12, knew all those kids, went to church with them.
You
yeah,
see any of them?
Knew everybody.
You see any
yeah.
of them?
Yeah. Oh, I stay in touch with a lot of them. Yeah, most of them.
And where did Chuck grow up?
He grew up in East Tennessee in a town, Maury, where there's a country club. And they were members of it. And he goes, I had it so hard. And I'm like, really? Because he played golf. He knew
right.
how to play golf and tennis. That wasn't even in our... Like, nobody knew even what that was. We
right.
saw it on TV.
Right. So, everybody should know this. You've had three beautiful children. Mm-hmm. And basically, they're co-stars. I mean, you talk more about your family and what's going on than most anything else.
Yes.
Why did you feel that was where you wanted to go?
That's all I do know. And when I wanted to be in Hollywood and I wanted to be a comedic actress and all that from the time I was little bitty. But I didn't know how you could get in a car and drive to L.A. at 18
right.
with $60 in your pocket. I've heard those stories. Or go to Chicago and do Second City because I was a big SNL fan.
Oh, wow.
So I went on to UT and because I didn't know what else to do, thinking in my head, I mean, I wanted to get an education, Maury, but I chased a high school boyfriend there. And I knew I needed to go, but I thought, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I'm going to Hollywood. And then through lots of ups and downs and bad decisions, Maury, then married Chuck Morgan, and then he moved me to the foothills of the Appalachia Mountains. What was your question? I just went off on a whole tangent, Maury.
That your kids are all part of your act.
Yeah, so by the time I wanted babies more than anything in my life. I wanted to be a mama. So then I had these babies, and I started doing stand-up in the foothills of the Appalachia Mountains.
Stop right there, because everybody thinks, oh, Leanne, a 50-plus-year-old sensation. You get mad at that.
I do, because I've been doing it 25 years. My baby was 18 months old when I opened at my first comedy club, and she's going to be 28 this coming January.
Is it true that you used to be a jewelry salesperson?
I sold jewelry.
And you used to go to parties and kind of hone your stand-up in front of parties?
Yes. I didn't even care about jewelry, but I wanted to stay home with my baby and nurse him. And Chuck Morgan had a business at 27, very entrepreneurial and driven. But he had all these, payroll to make and all that, and I wanted a little money to get my hair highlighted. Maury, because he's tight, and I wanted to be able to buy my baby an outfit and just have a little – I like to make money. So I started selling this jewelry in people's houses. I look back on it, and it was like my own little comedy club every night. And I, instead of talking about jewelry, I was talking about breastfeeding, hemorrhoids, raising babies, Chuck Morgan not helping me with these children. That's where all that talking about my kids came from. And that's all I knew because I was a stay-at-home mom. So my comedy, I'd love to be like Jerry Seinfeld and talk about a cotton ball. But I'm a storyteller.
Right.
And I like to tell what really happened. And it was I was with these babies all the time. Chuck Morgan was making a living for us and gone and working, workaholic. And that's all I know.
So when did you feel that I could take this nationwide?
I thought it from the beginning. I told,
from
the beginning, I thought, even though I didn't know how and where and all that, but when I did open that, I opened for Billy Gardell at Zany's in Nashville, which is one of the best clubs in the United States. But that was 25 years ago. And I thought then, oh, I'm going big. I'm going to have a sitcom. That was my dream. I want to be in movies. I'm going to go big. Did I know it was going to turn out this way? No. And this is even sweeter and more wonderful than anything I imagined. But Brian Dorfman, who owned that club, who's now my concert promoter, he owns clubs all over the United States.
I saw, how big your venues are? I mean, thousands.
Now I'm going into some arenas.
Arenas?
I'm going into some arenas.
You mean like 15, 20,000 people?
I did two American Airlines, and that was 22,000 tickets in a day. I can't do that everywhere, Maury. They're starting to move me up into. I just did the Wang in Boston to wrap up this 150 city tour, whatever it was. I've lost count, and that was a 3,000 seater, and I sold out three of those. So maybe next time I'll go into an arena in Boston. So
But you've done two big arenas.
Two big, huge arenas, but now, I do small arenas all the time.
Do you have to change your stand-up if you do it at a bigger venue?
No. To me, it's not as intimate. The theaters are the best, but some of these small arenas feel just as intimate.
What's your breakdown in terms of percentages, women and men?
I think it's getting to be half and half. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Men love that series, Maury, and I love men, and I think they can tell, honey.
I'm going to get to that because that's how my wife discovered you. She did. I discovered you on your stand-up. She discovered you in the series.
She did.
Oh, my God.
Well, I think it started out women liked my material in I'm Every Woman.
Right.
On the net, but there were always men in the audience. But I can see there's more and more now. And I think it's half. And they're darling.
But that's good.
I know. In the airports, they yell out to me, men will go, I love that series. And I think because Ryan Stiles, Blake Clark, Tim Daly, all these people in it.
So what was it like when all of a sudden the biggest sitcom producer comes to your town, Chuck Lorre, to talk to you?
Oh, honey. And I knew something was going to happen. I knew it was going to go quick. I mean, I had 4 development deals before over the years for sitcoms. One with ABC and Warner Brothers.
Same kind of stuff?
Yeah. TV Land, Nick at Night. I always had Hollywood coming after me. Even in those bad years where I couldn't get booked, nobody cared and all that, I'd have a season that I would get booked doing shows. And then other times it'd be slow. But I'd always get something come from Hollywood that would give me the hope to keep going. But I look back on those now, and they were great, and the showrunners were great and all that, but Chuck Lorre, when you get Chuck Lorre,
Big Bang Theory,
they just, everybody just
Two and a Half
him.
Men.
Yeah, everybody. Netflix just said, what do y'all want to do? We didn't even pitch anything. I think I talked about my weak pelvic floor. I'm not kidding. And they just go, do you want to do a sitcom?
But it switched. I mean, you talk about your marriage. You've been married to the same guy for what, 35, 34?
33 years now.
33.
Uh-huh.
And now you're playing a divorced mom.
I know. And that kind of bumped me at first, Maury. When Chuck Lorre, he was the one that came up with that and said, Lynn, I'll just tell you, your real life is too boring. He goes, why don't we? You got to have some conflict. And he said, I do think that, and I now realize how brilliant that it was. He said, it's a universal story, whether it's divorce or losing a job or whatever. Everybody at some point has had to pull their bootstraps up and keep going in a crisis and start over. And he said, I think we need a story like that. And at first, it felt very weird to me because Chuck Morgan, I'm still married to him, and I don't know. And it's not a reality show, but I just felt weird. But
the fact, the contrast between you and your series sister, Kristen Johnston, is, I mean, she's the best.
The best.
You play off her. She plays off you.
We really have a good chemistry. The minute we met, and they said to me, because I was involved in some of the casting and some of it I wasn't.
She's the hard-ass sister who's trying to get you through life.
Uh-huh. Who's a mess, who's been divorced several times. Yeah, and obviously doesn't have a job. We got to figure out a job for her.
Right. Ends up coming to the house.
Yeah, and I'm more the straight-laced one that's, you know, had children, been married a long time. And then this man breaks up with me over an email after all the... And you won't believe, Maury, how many people, women, come up to me and go,
said the same thing happened to them?
The same thing. And they said, this got me through. And I think I can find love again. I didn't want to try until I saw this.
Do you know how many things break up because of what they find in a phone? I mean...
And don't you know when people go, you can't look at my phone. You think, what are they doing?
I mean... Every time I did the lie detector test shows, half the women were saying, well, I went onto his phone and I saw this and he's trying to tell me he's there. And then I see he's there in the other place, you know, and that's how the whole thing started. And they end up on my show and with him trying to prove that he didn't mess around.
But they did.
Okay. You know, it's very interesting about how you do this. As a journalist, we would never talk about our family. But you just are so transparent. You say everything, the good, the bad, the ugly.
I get it cleared first.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And there's only one time. Yes, they all know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they say because whether I can or not.
The last stand-up, you bring your whole family out at the end of the show after talking about them all night.
I know. And most of the time, I mean, like when I talked about, and when it's not even in a popular special, but an offshoot
right.
of my son being an old soul, playing the banjo in middle school, having a garden. You know, these girls, I did talk about them being mean when they were 16. But that's just nature.
And you run that by them.
Yeah, they knew exactly, and they were like, oh, we don't care. I tell you, in middle school, everybody said, keep your mouth shut, don't say my name out of your mouth. And I was like, okay, that was a bad, dry time. But then and they got in high school, and they were like, we don't care, Mom, what you do. And then now they're like, yeah, whatever. But Chuck Morgan one time said to me, don't ever say anything like that again. And it's when I first started out.
What'd you say?
I said, he's in the mobile home industry. I said, I'd just gotten through breastfeeding three children, and I said, I would like to get my breast done, but it's been a bad mobile home year. And Chuck Morgan said, don't you ever say that I'm not providing for you. I could write a check for your breast today. And he values himself as a provider, and that really hurt his feelings, and he said, I don't want you saying that I can't provide for you.
Well, I'm sure he does well.
He does well. But, he's an executive for a company.
Yeah, but is he doing better than you?
No, I'm doing. I think I'm doing better.
Is he upset
now
about
that? Now I have a little
power. Is he upset about that?
I think at first it really shook him.
Because I knew there was a time when my wife made 10 times more money than I did. And then it kind of got reversed. You know? I didn't mind her making more money.
It didn't
bother me.
Oh, good.
That didn't bother me.
Well, you're evolved.
I'm not evolved. Yeah, talking about evolved, I read an article where you said, I realize now that I can make decisions. What does that mean? You mean you couldn't make decisions before?
I don't know if I felt powerless because being a stay-at-home mom, my mom and dad had a business together. They had that meat processing plant together.
And
my
mother
ran
worked.
That thing. She ran that thing. She did the books, the counting. Really smart.
Right.
And so I grew up with her doing that. And then I married Chuck Morgan, and I stay home all the time. And I just felt like I didn't have power to, like, financial decisions. And he got an MBA, like he's a math person. And I don't know why I felt that way. Because what, Maury? I think I'm pretty smart. And I just realized, and I know it sounds crazy, in my 50s, I thought,
sense. He didn't put you down, did he?
No. I think in his wanting to take care of me.
He was the provider.
He would just say, I would say, you know, what kind of life insurance do we have? Well, don't worry about it, Leanne. I'm taking care of it. Like, I didn't know. I still don't know that much. And I know a lot of my girlfriends
I bet with your career you're making your decisions.
I run now, you know, a team of 25 people.
25.
Well, all these agents, managers, PR,
they're not,
you know, social media people. I have to make decisions all the time. And
they're not taking all your money, are they?
No. Chuck Morgan's watching that. But, yeah, I mean, he just was like, we were very traditional.
Sure.
He took care of everything, and I took care of these babies.
Do you think a lot of the women who come to your shows but you were?
Yes, because I talk about in this new special having to prostitute myself to Chuck Morgan for these kids to have good shoes. And women throw their purse in there, Maury. And I can see men, that women doing this to their husbands. Because if they stayed at home.
Do you think that was a traditional Southern thing for women to stay at home?
Yeah, maybe.
Were they less evolved with the women's movement or the guess what? I mean, you had to grow up in the 70s and 80s,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But I bet in Atlanta and Raleigh-Durham and, you know, some of these cities, I bet they were going and doing, and women were, you know, becoming lawyers and doctors and all that. That, I don't know. I was very... I just wanted to stay home with these babies.
Right. So what am I going to hear from unspeakable things that I didn't hear in your previous one?
It's more stories. It's more stories about these kids and my life, what's happening now. Because, Maury, when I started this thing 25 years ago. Right. I would talk about then about breastfeeding.
Toddlers and
all that, birth and doing.
Right.
Then I went through elementary, T-ball, all that. Then middle school, they told me to leave them alone. Then high school, like you can see every part of my life, menopause, all that birthing, menopause. And then now I do talk a little bit about Hollywood.
Oh, you do?
And my experience about Hollywood, because I was in a movie.
But now all your children are adults.
They're adults.
Some of them are married.
Yeah.
Some of them have kids.
I've got grandbabies. I talk about my grandbabies. And I talk about having to do unspeakable things with Chuck Morgan.
You mean currently?
Yes. He has got so much testosterone. I mean.
Really?
I think men who sell mobile homes must have more testosterone than other people. And he plays tennis. Which my doctor told me, she said, his testosterone's going
right.
to be up, Leanne. You got to start playing tennis.
So you've done Colbert, you've done Kimmel, and tonight you're going to do the Fallon Show.
Yeah.
The Tonight Show.
Yeah. And I've always wanted to do that. I'm so tickled.
Because of Johnny, I guess. Carson.
No, oh, I watched Johnny Carson all my life, and I loved when a comedian would come on. I'll never forget Roseanne Barr. It blew me away when she did that whole uterus as a device, you know, honing device. And I got to meet her, you know, like 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And she knew who I was. But I remember her doing that set and then overnight becoming huge, got her own sitcom.
Right.
And Matt Williams did her sitcom, and he did one of my development deals, who is precious, who did Home Improvement.
Right.
And Roseanne.
So your style is so much different than a lot of other stand-ups who swear, you know, use the F word all the time, talk about political things,
mm-hmm.
current events. Do you like any of them?
Oh, yeah. Love them. I'm a huge fan of Dave Chappelle.
Uh-huh.
I like all stand-up.
I got a new younger guy you ought to watch. And he's pretty clean. His name is Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson.
He hosts The Daily Show sometimes.
Oh.
And he's in the vein of George Carlin, because he's a storyteller, and he will. Now I wonder, because I'm doing this because I want to know if you've gone through this too. He can go 2 minutes in an hour-long set and not get a laugh because he's a storyteller. He brings you along, and then maybe with an aside, he might get a laugh. What happens if you don't get a laugh?
I think now that I've done this 25 years, I'm comfortable talking and telling a story and it not hitting until the end. Like, I think that comes with experience of being on stage.
In the beginning?
In the beginning, I would have fainted. But now, I mean, I can take that silence because I know I'm building. Yeah. And I never said ugly words, Maury, because I didn't want my children to say them. I
uh-huh.
thought, what can I don't want to say anything that I would tell my children they couldn't say.
Ah.
So that, and then I just was raised. There wasn't language in my home. My family didn't use language. And it would make me feel bad if I did. But I don't mind other people doing it.
It's
okay. Mind other people. Yeah, oh, yeah.
You can enjoy that.
Yeah, oh,
if
yeah.
If you like Chappelle, of course.
I love Chappelle, Chris Rock, Kevin Hart, all them, Bill Burr. Oh, gosh, a million. I got Jim Gaffigan, of course, he's clean. Nate Bargatze.
You know who I've grown accustomed to. I watch a lot of his older clips, but now I'm kind of a fan. Ron White,
wonderful storyteller. Have you heard Tater Salad?
No.
Oh, my Lord. That's what he's known for. You've got to
really?
Hear the thing about Tater Salad. I'm not going to give it away.
Yeah.
You're in for a treat.
Texas boy.
Uh-huh. Always heard early in my career, don't stay in a condo with Ron White. Leanne, he's going to think you're pretty, which I like to be pretty. But they, you know, in those condos, people used to spend, women and men, and
right.
you didn't know what in the world was going to happen. But, because he's wild. I think he's who he says he is.
Yeah. And he drinks right through his set. I am friendly with one comedian, very friendly with one. and I don't know if you like him or not. Lewis Black is a dear friend of mine.
Oh, Lewis Black. I love him. Yeah. I've never gotten to meet him.
Oh, he's great. You would love him. I mean, even though every other word is F, but you would love him. Now, what's it like co-hosting the Today Show? I mean, you're doing it with Jenna. I mean,
she's a doll and so down to earth, and we just get so tickled. And half the time she has to read my teleprompter because I get so excited. And I'm having a ball talking to Toni Braxton or somebody that I don't even know what's happening. And Jenna just reads my line for me. Darling, they're sweet over at the Today Show. And see, I raised these children. I would take them to school and then sit and watch the Today Show. Yeah. Loved it all my life. So that was a big goal of mine.
So your daughter, Tess, who's overcome some physical problems in the past, mm-hmm. you probably see her more than you see any of your kids.
I do.
Because she works with you.
She works with me. She's with me all the time. And I could not do it without her. But I feel bad because she would like to feel the touch of a man, Maury. She's 27 years old.
Did you clear that with her?
Yeah, she knows. She says it all the time. I want to feel the touch of a man. I'm with my old ball and chain mom. But I need her. It's a double-edged sword. She's a wonderful makeup artist. And she went to school for that for here in New York for television and film. And then so she tours with me, and then she got Chuck Lorre pushed her through to work on that series. Right. So she's about to get her union. You know, that's a big deal with those makeup and hair people.
Are you kidding? Uh-huh. I mean, I have them myself, you know, and they keep saying to me, why aren't you working us more so we can get paid and get the union pension and all that kind of stuff? I'm tired of that stuff. So I got this game I'm going to play, all right? It's called On Par, meaning great, good, I like it, or off the rails. So this is it.
Okay.
I've been opening envelopes for a long time, you know. Here we go. All right. In the case of on par or off the rails, Leanne, do you think your husband loading the dishwasher wrong for 30 years is on par okay or off the rails?
I've got to admit to you that he thinks I do it wrong, and he would say, she's off the rails. He's organized and retentive.
This is so opposite of my life. I cannot put a dish into the dishwasher.
For sweet Connie Chung.
You know exactly where a dinner plate works.
Yes.
And so I put it in there. She goes,
Chuck Morgan's redone mine for 30 years, and it says that I don't even touch it, Leanne.
Okay, do you think people who say bless your heart don't really mean it?
I mean it. I do think there are hateful people who don't mean it, but my people mean it, Maury. We mean it in a sweet way.
All right. Would you try to sneak snacks into the church?
Yes, on par.
Really?
I take snacks everywhere I go, Maury. I got grandchildren, and I had all these children.
So if you go to church, there's something in your bag.
There's something in there in case somebody feels weak. Yes.
Okay.
Plus mints and gum.
Right. Do you believe in matching pajamas for the whole family at Christmas?
I didn't because Chuck had me on a budget, but now I think I can afford it, Maury, and I'm looking at them. I really want to do it now. But, yeah, we couldn't have that privilege for
a long time. Okay. Do you believe in TikTok dance challenges for people over 40?
Yes. Fun.
Good. You would try? Would you try to do that with a member of your family?
Yes.
Okay. Do you like gluten-free biscuits? Because I know you like biscuits.
I love a biscuit, and I should be gluten-free. I'm supposed to be gluten-free. I've never found a biscuit. There are good gluten-free things.
You make biscuits, don't you?
I'm not a good biscuit maker. My mother-in-law, Gail, honey, would make one that you would die over.
Soft,
my mama could make one.
See, I like the soft in the middle when they're soft in the middle. I don't like them too hard.
Yeah.
And
you need
of course,
a soft one.
Biscuits and gravy.
Biscuits and gravy. And then my mother-in-law makes S-H-I-T on a shingle. I think the Army
meat.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. It's got that. It's got that thing in there. You know, that meat.
Right.
In that gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like anything on a biscuit. Yeah. I mean, like bacon and eggs. You know, jam, jelly. I mean, I like anything on a biscuit.
Okay. I got one other thing for you to do. Oh, by the way, I might as well. This had a good run, didn't it?
It had a good run.
What in the world? When you meet Leanne, you will never ask what in the world because she's asked it all her life.
I am. And
a Southern woman's guide to laughing at life's unexpected curveballs and beautiful blessings.
Yeah, and you know, every day, Maureen, with this happening to me in my early 50s for this blowing up, and now I'm one of the top touring comedians in the world. I go every day. I go, what in the world? Wonderful things come to me every day. And that's why I say this is bigger and sweeter than anything. I'm a big dreamer, and I dreamed,
you dreamed
this was going to happen.
Well, you told me in this interview that you wanted to be in Hollywood.
I knew from the time I was little it was going to happen. But I just didn't know it was going to be this wonderful, because this is pretty wonderful. Arenas. I mean, I didn't dream that.
Do you know, I heard a thing about Dave Chappelle one time. He said he was given, they were giving Kevin Hart the Mark Twain Prize. And so Dave Chappelle was talking about him. He said that Kevin Hart changed the life of all stand-up comics because he was the first one to be able to go into arenas, because nobody thought a stand-up could play in front of that many people.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's what he said. It was Kevin Hart who was able to expand it to these huge arenas.
Oh, and that's right. I mean, he's the one that did it.
And you've done it.
I would have never thought that. When they told me in American Airlines, the Mavericks play here, I was like, what? The basketball team?
Did you feel it?
Yeah, twice in a day. And Oprah Winfrey flew in for
it. Oh, is that when she made all those comments about you?
Yeah, Oprah and Gail came.
Right. I know Oprah a little. I know Gail a lot.
Darling. They're darling fun.
Yeah.
They came, flew in there to see me. Isn't that crazy? It's that kind of stuff that I go, what in the world?
Okay. And I'm going to finish this up. Guess what? Tell Chuck this. I bet you haven't done this before. I want you to sign a golf ball.
Okay.
You ready for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to play, and Chuck goes, you don't take anything seriously, and this is too wonderful a game for you to go out there. And
is that what he said?
Yes, he said that I don't take things serious.
Do you know that when I met Connie, I had already become a golf addict, so she wanted to play. I said, okay, fine. You want to play? Play. So we went out a few times, and then she saw me play, and she didn't play too good. And she said, I'm not going to play anymore. I said, why? He says, because I'm so competitive, I can't beat you. I don't want to play. So she stopped playing.
I bet that little thing's competitive because how successful she's been.
Well, yeah, and everything else. But she,
she said, I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it because I can't beat you. And so I'm not doing it. I'd rather go and fight the white guys in TV news. You ever signed a golf ball? I bet
no.
you.
No.
Huh? There you go.
I have not. Chuck Morgan's going to love this. I think I could play golf and just have fun.
Exactly. That's the greatest thing about... Now I'm going to tell you a story, Leanne. Arnold Palmer, Chuck will understand who Arnold Palmer is.
Yes, I know who
that is. It's not just a drink, you know?
Yeah.
So Arnold Palmer, years and years ago, told all the people on the professional golf tour, when you go sign something, you sign your name. No running around scratchy stuff that nobody can recognize. You sign your full name. Leanne Morgan signs her full name. So take that, Arnold, up in heaven. Very good. Thank you so much, my dear.
Thank you, honey. This flew by because I could talk to you for the rest of my life. You don't.
I could. Because I still love that Southern accent. If you've had as much fun as I did, make sure you subscribe to On Par on YouTube and tap that little bell so you don't miss a thing. And if you like to listen on the go,
We're on Apple, Spotify, everywhere you get your podcasts. Hit the follow button. On Par with Me, Maury Povich, is brought to you by Mopo Productions, A Better Life Media, and Radley Studios. With executive producers, me, Maury Povich, Holly J. Mirabella, and Christian Thompson. Directed by Seth Dean.